Today's Shi'ah is Masech B'chairis Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis on the Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah Beis Shammai Oimrim Lo Yimne Im Yisrael Makayin L'Bechar. A Kayin who receives a Bechar, which is a Balmum, says Beis Shammai Shinnad Invite a Kayin who receives a Bechar that's a Balmum Shinnad Invite a Yisrael to eat along with him from that Bechar. Beis Hillel Matirim, Beis Hillel say that it's mutter, and in fact, according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, I feel like a kachavim, one may even invite an akum to join him in the bechor. The kohen may invite even an akum to join with him. The Rambam, as the Beis Yosef says that according to Beis Shammai, that an akum should not be invited, that a Yisrael should not be invited to eat along with the Bechor of the Kohen who receives it when it's a Balmum, says that Beis Shammai will have this opinion also by all Matnas Kohuna, that it should be left strictly to the Kahanim and not to anyone else. Furthermore, the Brisk Rav and the Migdash Tovid ask a question. We've learned earlier in our Masechta that the Halakha is that the Bechor, even the Bechor Baal Mum, has to be slaughtered within 1 year. So we see there's a din that has to be eaten within 1 year. So how could the Mishnah suggest that we could give it to an Akum when there's a halacha that has to be taken care of within 1 year? So they explain that the way to understand that Mishnah Gemara that we've learned with that 1 year time frame is strictly in regards that there's a din that the animal has to be slaughtered within 1 year. But according to Beis Hillel, they explain there will be no requirement that it be eaten or eaten by Yisrael within 1 year. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask that we've learned that regarding the din of Bechor, the Torah says L'moshcha Kederech Shemalachim Eichlim, and they ask, where is the Moshcha Kederech Shemalachim Eichlim when we give it to Akum to eat? So I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Derech Hamuna explains that the din that we've learned regarding the Bechor, that there is the Moshcha Kederech Shemalachim Eichlim, is only said when it's a Yisra, when a Kayin is eating it. When it's not a Kohen eating it, when it's a Yisrael, or as our Mishnah teaches us, when it's an Akum eating it, then the din of L'moshcha Kederech Shemalachim Eichlim would not apply. Furthermore, there's a Machlokes Rishonim that when Beis Hillel is matter L'Oiv de Kechavim, what will Beis Hillel's opinion be regarding Klavim? Are we allowed to serve Bechor Baal Mum meat to Klavim? And as I said, it's a machlokes rishonim. Another important issue that is discussed by the rishonim and the achronim is that, according to Beis Hillel, it's clear that the kohen in our Mishnah can invite the akum to eat of the bechor baal mum. The question that comes up is that halacha also regarding selling the bechor meat, bechor baal mum, to an akum. Many poskim are, the rishonim are of the opinion that it's not limited strictly to eating, that the same halacha applies to eating, to selling it to the akum as well. And not only may it be sold to akum, there's a suggestion that it should preferably be sold to an Akum, because we know, as we've learned and will learn, that when you have a Bechor Baal Mum and it turns out to be a Trefa, you have all sorts of issues. You're going to have to bury that Bechor Baal Mum. There's going to be an issue with Giza. There's going to be an issue with Giza Vavoida. And by selling it to the Akum, you sort of avoid all of these problems. And actually, that's the way the Ramah Paskins that a Bechor Baal Mum may be sold by the Kohen to an Akum. I saw that the Achroinim ask on the Ramah, why not be concerned that this Akum will then go and turn and sell that animal back to Yisrael, that has all sorts of restrictions on a Bechor Baal Mum? So they say we need not be concerned because it's a Svek Sveka. First of all, the animal may be fine and the Akum will keep it for himself. Furthermore, it's a Sofik if he'll sell it, and therefore there are all sorts of Svekas and we could be lenient. Furthermore, I saw that the Michetz Yitzchak quotes the Chabina Rav that says, but haven't we learned, and starting from the first mission of our parak, that there are all sorts of restrictions on a animal which is a Bechor Baal Mum, and certainly if it's sold to an Akum, the Akum will not, of course, follow all of those restrictions. Why are we not concerned for that? So the Chabina Rav, and I think that may be exactly what Rav Chaim Kanievsky means as well, says that all of these restrictions that the Torah says on a Bechor Baal Mum is not because the Bechor Baal Mum has in it some sort of inherent Kedusha, similar to the Kedusha that every Kachim has. Rather, they are specific rules that the Torah said should be applied to a Bechor Baal Mum, and those specific rules were only said to Yisraelim and not to Akum. So therefore, the concern that the Akum will not follow all of these restrictions is not here, because those restrictions are rules that only apply to Yisraelim, not to Akum. However, the Marshal takes a different opinion. And the Marshal's opinion is that although we may invite, according to Beis Hillel of our Mishnah, an Akum to eat of the Bechor Baal Mum that the Kohen has, he may not, according to the Marshal, sell that meat to an Akum. And the question that the Mefarshim pose is, why is there a difference between eating in the Kohen's home versus selling it, having the Akum eat in the Kohen's home versus selling it to the Akum? So the Sefer Reishis Bikurim makes a very important distinction. He says that when the Akum is eating the Bechor meat, the Bechor Baal Mum, in the Yisrael's home, it doesn't become the Akum's. It's still the Yisrael's. It's just that the Yisrael is having a guest, and the guest is an Akum. Whereas, when it's being sold to the Akum, that means it's being transferred from the home of the Yisrael, from the possession of the Kohen, in our case, to the possession of the Akum, and that, the Marshal says, may not be done. And actually, this explanation of the Reishis Bikurim has very significant halachic ramifications. The question that the Paiskim discuss is, if someone invites a guest to his home, I invite a guest to my home, and I put out a bowl of fruit for that guest to eat from, and the guest takes that apple that's in that bowl and is Mekadosh and Isha with that apple. Will the Kedusha be a valid Kedusha? Because we know that the most basic halacha of Kedusha is, when you do Kesef Kedusha, is that it has to be money that's owned by the person, by the husband who's doing the Kedusha. That's all we know, that the Masadri Kedusha always asks the chassan under the chuppah, is this ring yours? So now the question is, I invited this guest to my home, and I gave him, and I offered him an apple, does this apple become his apple? According to the explanation of the Reishis Bikurim, it doesn't become his apple, because the Reishis Bikurim is teaching us that as an explanation of the Marshal, that when we have something in my home, then it's still mine. Only when I transfer it from my home to yours does it become yours. And actually, this is also the basis for a very famous Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says that we know that the Gemara compares the mitzvah of dal minim to the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach by night. And therefore, just like by dal minim, there's a din of lechem, that you have to own the matzah in order, you have to own the dal minim to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. So too is the halacha, he says, regarding the matzah. And therefore, the Sfasemis says that if one invites guests to eat in his home on, if one invites guests to eat in his home on Pesach by night, he has to be careful to be machna to them, to give them ownership in the matzah, because if you won't give them ownership in the matzah, then you won't be mekayim, then they won't be mekayim the mitzvah. Why? Because again, if we follow the explanation of the Reishis Bikurim, where the Reishis Bikurim is teaching us that I am not the owner of the food that I have in your home, and therefore, even though I was invited to your home as a guest, in order for me to be mekayim the mitzvah, I have to take formal ownership of that food. Actually, I've seen that there are paiskim that disagree with that Sfasemis, and they explain that although, as we said, there seems to be an obligation of lechem in the matzah, the obligation of lechem in matzah doesn't say that you have to be a full-fledged owner of the matzah, as in all other areas of halacha. Rather, what it represents is that you have to be the right to eat it. And right to eat it is adequate ownership as far as hilchus matzah is concerned. And therefore, even if you hold that there's a din of lochem by matzah, ownership of being allowed to eat it is adequate ownership. Says the Gemara, Masnisimani, whose opinion does our Mishnah follow? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa. B'char ein nimnan lov ela chabur shekul kahanim. The only people that can eat from a b'char balmum is a group that's completely kahanim. Actually, I saw that the Achronim asked, why does the Gemara use here this very long-winded wording? B'char ein nimnan lov ela chabur shekul kahanim. He should have said, b'char ein nechel ela kahanim. So they answer, we know that the halacha is that a Bas Koyin that marries Yisrael may not eat Truma or anything that is limited to Kahanim. What happens if that marriage terminates and there are no children from that marriage? So the halacha is that that Bas Koyin may now eat Truma again. However, the halacha is that even though they may only eat, that she may eat Truma, she may not eat Kachim. Teaches us Beis Shammai, say the Mefarshim, that as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, Bechor Balmum meat is to be treated like Kachim, and that the Bas Koyin may not eat when she comes back to her father's home. Beis Hillel's opinion is Afil Zorim, Mekiva Matar Afil Oed Kachavim, even Akum, according to Beis Hillel, may eat from the Bechor Balmum. The most Rishonim of the opinion that we have here, Machloikis, what is the opinion of Beis Hillel if only Yisraelim may eat Bechor Baal Mum or even Akum? They say that when the first opinion says that it's only Yisraelim and not Akum, they explain that it's only Midrabonim that Beis Hillel will hold that Akum may not eat, but Midaraisa he would agree even Akum may eat. Furthermore, there's a Machlokes Rishonim that the Shammai and the first opinion of Beis Hillel, who are taking this very serious approach towards Akum, strict approach towards Akum, what will they hold regarding the chalif of a Bechor Baal Mum? That we know that Yisraelim obviously may not eat the chalif. Will they agree that at least the chalif may be consumed by an Akum? Ask the Gemara, my Tamid Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai hold that an Akum may not eat of, we may not serve an Akum or Yisraelim from the Bechor Baal Mum, the Ksiv, Ubesarm Yilcha Chazei Atnufa Kishoit Hayomin Bechor Yiyah. The Torah compares the Bechor Baal Mum meat to the Chaz of the Shoit of the Shlomin. Ma Hosom, the Halacha is when it comes to the Chaz of the Shoit, Yisrael, Kahanim in Yisrael Loi, Avocha Kahanim in Yisrael Loi. Ask from Kivega, a Gevalbige Kasha. If Beis Shammai is comparing Bechor Bal Mum to the Chaz of the Shoyt, so we've learned earlier in our Masechta, says Rav Kivega, that the halacha is that a bechor that's hegish, that you bring as a carbon, is nachal shnei yomim v'layla echad. But a bechor that's a balmum has no restrictions how long it may be eaten. So he asks, if we're learning now that it's treated like chaz of the shoyt, that even bechor balmum, according to Beis Shammai, is treated like chaz of the shoyt. So he asks, just like by chaz of the shoyt, the halacha is that it's only nachal shnei yom v'layla echad, so too should be the halacha regarding bechor balmum. So Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't answer this question. I saw that the Mefarshim, that there's a Sefer Tiferes Yerushalayim that says a very nice answer to Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. He says, whenever we learn in the Torah that there's a restriction that something can only be, a karbanos can only be eaten l'shnei yomim v'lai lechad, yomim v'lai lechad, that is only regarding karbanos whose heter achila, whose permissibility to eat, came about through the Zrikas Hadam. But in a situation where the heter achila isn't achieved through Zrikas Hadam, for example, the case that we're discussing of a Bechor Bal Mum, where it's just the fact that it's a Bal Mum that makes it mutter to be eaten, there are no rules about Shnei Yomim or Yom Echad, and therefore even Beis Shammai would agree that a Bechor Bal Mum has no time restriction to it. A Beis Hillel that does say that a Bechor Bal Mum is maybe eaten even by Zorim and maybe even by Akum, he says, Hani Mili Tam. That's strictly by Tam. That's the animal that's compared to a Chaz V'Shoyt. Al Bal Mum, when it's Bal Mum, it says, HaTomei V'Atoa Yachav Yechlena. Uma Tomei, and he explains as follows. If a Tomei, Shein Oichel B'Kotchim Kalim, a coin that's Tomei may not eat Kotchim Kalim, Oichel B'Bechor, may eat B'Bechor, Zor, Oichel B'Kotchim Kalim, the halacha is that the Yisraelim get a portion of the Karban Shlomim, and the Karban Toida, they get a portion of the Kotchim Kalim, and it didn't, certainly they should be allowed to eat from the Bechor. So, as the Rishonim explain, why does Beis Hillel need to have this Kal V'Chomer on top of the fact that he just says that only a Tam is compared, a Bechor Tam is compared to the Chaz V'Shoyt, not a Bechor Bal Mum? So they explain that that's exactly what Beis Hillel is trying to accomplish with the Kal V'Chomer. For were we not to have a Kal V'Chomer, they explain, one could argue that the Torah, when it's comparing a Bechor to the Chaz V'Shoyt, is not only comparing a Bechor Tam to the Chaz V'Shoyt, is also comparing a Bechor Bal Mum to the Chaz V'Shoyt. But now that we have a Kal V'Chomer that points us in the other direction, that's why Beis Hillel says that only a Bechor Tam has this rule, not a Bechor Bal Mum. But ask the Gemara, Ikla Mifrach, we could refute this Kal V'Chomer. Ma'al Tomei, he can't bring a ride from Tumah. She can't hut the Mechlal B'Avodah Zatzibur. We see that Tumah is a specific lenient Isser, because we know the halacha is that if the Kahanim are Tomei, even though certainly normally when they're Tomei, they may not do Avodah, but if most of the Kahanim are Tomei, they may do Avodah, even when they're Tomei. And it's interesting to point out that if we look in Rashi, Rashi takes a very lenient opinion. Because Rashi says it doesn't have to be that all of the Kahanim are Tomei. Rashi says that even if just the Kahanim of that Beis Av, of that family who's doing Avodah on this day, are Tomei, they may do the Avodah that day. Even though you can find other Kahanim, not from this family, who are not Tomei. Obviously, Rashi is of the opinion of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. So the point that the Gemara is making is that we see that when it comes to Tumah, there are specific leniencies of Beis Hillel. How does Beis Hillel defend himself? Ata b'avoyda kamar. We're not talking regarding avoyda. B'achila kamin. We're speaking about achila. And we just prove that achila zar, that when it comes to achila, a Yisrael who's not Tamei is on a higher level than a Kayin who is Tamei. And therefore, if the halacha is that a Kayin who's Tamei can eat from a Bechor Bal Mum, certainly a Yisrael who's not Tamei, a Yisrael may eat of it as well. And as the Reishis Bikurim explains, what the Gemara means, or the Hill means here to say, is that the Hilchas Achila and Hilchas Avoida are two separate categories, are two separate issues. And what's the Raya, he says? Because the Halacha is that the Avoida may only be done by the Kahanim when they're wearing their Big Day Kahuna. Whereas the Achila of the Kahanim was not done, of Kachin Kalam, they weren't wearing the Big Day Kahuna. So we see that Achila is not considered an Avoida. For a word to be considered an Avoida, the Kahanim should have to wear the Big Day Kahuna. And therefore, we can learn from Hilchus Achila to Hilchus Avoida, or vice versa. Rav Kiva Matafil of the Kachavim, we learned that Rav Kiva is even more lenient in the understanding of Beis Hillel, and not only may Zorim eat from the Bechor Bal Mum, but even of the Kachavim. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Rav Kiva, because the Torah says, Ketzvi Kayol, Matzvi Vayol, what does the Torah mean by comparing the Bechor Bal Mum to Tzvi Vayol? As the Pasuk says, Besherecha Tachlena Tamar Ato Yachtot Ketzvi Kayol, Mat Tzvi Vayol Mutal Ad Kachavim, just like Aqua may eat Tzvi Vayol, Apsulim Mutarim Ad Kachavim, so too may they eat Bechor Bal Mum. The Idach, the other Tanoim who say that they may not, that Akum may not eat from the Bechor Bamum, and here too the Mepharshim say that seems to be the opinion of Beis Shammai, because the Gemara is trying to understand Beis Shammai's opinion, because as we said earlier in our shir, even the opinion in Beis Hillel who holds that Akum may not eat of a Bechor Bamum, we said that's only Midrabanan, not Midraisa. So the Gemara now is trying to understand Beis Shammai, who said that the Raisa Akum may not eat Bechor Bal Mum. How does he know it? So he said, because the Torah tlos at Tzvi Vayol Ksivi. The Torah says the word Tzvi Vayol three times. Chad l'Rav Yitzchak v'Rav Yoshe. Once it's for what Rav Yitzchak v'Rav Yoshe teach us. And even though Rashi isn't quite sure what the Gemara means with this, the Rishonim explain that it refers to Gemara Masechta Makkos, where Rav Oishia says that if somebody takes psulei megdashim and breeds it with its own type, he considered that he did klayim. Rav Yitzchak is even more machmer, a very big chumra. He says if you take an animal which is a psulei megdashim and you lead it, and you do work with it, that's considered as if you did work with two different, as if he did work with two different species. Chad Rav Elazar Kfar wanted to teach us what Rav Elazar Kfar teaches us, that just like Tzvi Vayol, in order to be allowed to eat Tzvi Vayol, you have to shech the Tzvi Vayol, so too is the halacha for Psulei Megdashim. Vidach, and the third time the Torah said Tzvi Vayol, is to teach us Mat Tzvi Vayol, since they're chayis, they're potim and b'chayra, Absalom Medashim, as we learned extensively earlier in Amasechta, of Pturim and Bechayim. Continues the Gemara. Tanar Abonim, Bechar, the halacha is that a Bechar ain't machil on Yisrael Nidus. May not be, Koyin's wife who's a Nida may not eat it, Dibri Beis Shammai, or Beis Hillel ain't machil on Yisrael Nidus. From here, says the Rambam, that it's only a Nida. A Koyin's wife, when she's a Nida, may not eat a Bechar. But if she's not a Nida, she may eat it. The interesting thing, however, the Mepharshim point out is that the Ravid says that a Kohen's wife may not eat a Bechor meat, and even when she's not a Nida. And how do we understand the Ravid in light of our Gemara? So the Achronim explain that the Ravid is not speaking about a Bechor Bal Mum. A Bechor Bal Mum, everybody will agree that a Kohen's wife may consume. The Machloikas of the Rambam and the Ravid is when the Bechor is not a Balmum and it's being brought as a carbon, may the wives of the Kohanim eat from that meat. Beis Hillel Aymrim, Machil HaSel Anidus, a Bechor Balmum may be eaten by a Nida. Ask the Gemara, my Tam of the Shammai, that takes the strict opinion. Answer the Gemara, Ksiv, Uvasaram Yilcha, what we learned earlier in our Shir. Beis Shammai compares the Bechor Balmum to the Chaz V'Shoit. Ma'ahosom, just like by the Chaz B'Shoit, Nidus Loi, Nidus may not eat from the Chaz B'Shoit. Av Hocha, here too, says B'Shamir, Nidus Loi. Paras Besol explain its opinion. Hanimili tam. Strictly, a tam may not be eaten by someone who's a nida. Avo bamum. When it comes to bamum, the Torah says hatame v'atar yachlena. The Torah explicitly permits a tame to eat from a bechor bamum. So the Torah is telling us explicitly that a tame may eat from a bechor bamum. What's Beis Shammai going to do with an explicit pasuk in the Torah? Answers the Gemara. Hani mi lehech de em tumah yotzla magufa. Avo hech de tumah yotzla magufa loy. Beis Shammai distinguishes between different types of tumah. If it's a tumah that emanates from the person's body like a nida, that the Torah will say, a b'chob, even a b'chob amur may not be eaten by such a tumah. When the Torah is lenient, it's only lenient by a tumah that comes to Masheretz, to Mesmeis, and says Beis Shammai, the Ashkan b'hal rechmana, we find that the Torah makes such a distinction. Bein tumah yoytz la megufa, lebein tumah she, bein tumah yoytz la megufa, lebein she ain't tumah yoytz la megufa. The Tanan, we know a pesach shabbat tumah. We know that if most of Klal Yisrael is tumah on Pesach Rishon, they're allowed to bring the carbon Pesach even when they're tumah. But the Mishnah Masech Pesachim teaches us. So you see that the Torah distinguishes between a tuma yaitzla magufa, which may not be eaten by that karm pesach, versus a tuma that is not yaitzla magufa, that may be eaten by tuma. So we see that there's a basis, there's a precedence for this distinction. There's an interesting point that the Shita takes out the word mitzrayim from this list of people who are, when we speak about the Karban Pesach. And the Tzlach explains that, Girsa. I saw two pshat in the Tzlach. One pshat the Tzlach says is that we know that a Mitzayra is Mesholach, is sent out of Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas, outside of Sholosh Machnas. Now what is that somebody who's outside of Yerushalayim doesn't partake of the Karban Pesach. So of course there is no room for discussion regarding the Mitzayra's obligation or exemption from eating the Karban Pesach. Another explanation that the Tzlach gives is as follows. Let's think about the situation. If this Mitzayra was already Mitzayra before Chatzos and Erev Pesach, where everybody must register to be a member of a group eating of the Karban Pesach, so he could have never registered to be a member of such a group. And if you're not registered, you're obviously not allowed to. If you're not registered, you're obviously not allowed to be part of the Karban Pesach anyway. If, however, he only became a Mitzayra Erev Pesach after the Karban Pesach was already brought, so we're going to learn a Gemara later in our Masechta that at that time, even if somebody Chas V'Shalom developed the simonim of a Mitzayra, he's not declared a Mitzayra at that time, and therefore the issue of Mitzayra is irrelevant and is removed from here. But we see clearly, says Beis Shammai, that there's a precedent to distinguish between Tumah Yotzla Megufa and Tumah She'en Yotzla Megufa. So that's where Beis Shammai makes this difference. Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel, Dafka Hosom, by the Karban Pesach, Hu D'Goli Rachmana Tamei Nefesh. And the Torah says that we could bring a Karban Pesach, a Pesach She'eni. It says, who brings the Karban Pesach, a Pesach She'eni? The individual who had a Tamei Mace on Pesach Rishon, she waits the Tamei Pesach Sheni. Avo, so there we see that the Torah calls it Tamei Nefesh. The Torah makes this distinction. Avo Hocha, when it comes to the Bechor Bamum, Tamei Stamitzer, the Torah just uses the word Tamei, without making a difference what type of Tuma, and therefore all Tameim may eat of a Bechor Bamum. Continue the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Eimar Gilim B'yontif. They used to skin the animal by cutting it in a way that they could take off the entire skin in one piece. Obviously the skin would be much more valuable. So says the Braisa, Emar Gilim B'yontif, we may not do this on Yontif. Ki Yotzeh by Emar Gilim B'chor, we may not do this with a B'chor. V'loy B'psulim Magdashim, nor by P'psulim Magdashim either. Explains the Gemara this Braisa. Bishlam Yontif, on Yontif we could understand why it may not be done. To cut Tarech Tircha B'loy Chazilei. On Yontif, we're allowed to do Oichel Nefesh. Skin is not part of the Oichel Nefesh Heter, and therefore, we may not do this on Yom Tov according to everyone. However, ask the Gemara, El Bechor Man Tana, who's the Tana that takes this strict approach to the Bechor that it may not be skinned? Or Rav Chisda, Beishamayi. It's Beishamayi, because we just learned that Beishamayi is so strict when it comes to Bechor Bamum, that it still has Kedusha. Domer, because as we just learned, Beishamayi says that Emachil Meselunidis. So you see that Beishamayi is strict when it comes to speaking about a Bechor Bamum. Then the Bryce said, the word of Psulim Adoshim, we may not do Margilim of Psulim Adoshim. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that holds that? Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Chisda, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimri. The Tana. We learned actually in a Bryce, and there's a Machlekes who showed him how to learn Pshat in this Bryce. We're going to explain the Gemara the way Rashi learns it in our Gemara. Rashi explains that the Bryce is speaking about a situation where somebody had an obligation to bring a Karban Chatas, and he designated two animals for that obligation. The reason somebody would do that is because he's concerned that something may happen to one of the two animals. And then one of those two animals became a Balmur. That's how Rashi learns in our Gemara, and that's how we're going to explain the Gemara. Other places Rashi explains that what happened here was that the person designated one animal for his chiyuv karban chatas, that animal became balmum, and then he took a second animal. So let's learn. The Gemara says, "Hayos funav shtei chatos." He has these two animals that he designated as a karban chatos. Achas tamima, one is fine. Vachs balmum, tamima tikarv. So the healthy animal should be the animal used for the karban chatas. Balas mum tipada, and the sick animal should be redeemed. Goes on the Bryce to say, Nishchata Balas Mum actually Nizukatamashal Tamima. If first the Baal Mum was slaughtered before you did Zrik Stam on the Tamima Muteres. However, Imish Nizukadamashal Tamima, if only after the Zrik Stam of the Tamima do you want to Shecht the Baal Mum Asura. Why? Because this falls into the category of a Chatosh Niskapu Baleo that we learned. That the halach is the chatosh and skapu balea ba'acher. Once the owner had the kapar with a different animal, the halach is that animal has to go lemisa. Rav Lazar of Shimon takes even a stricter view. He says you shechted the balmum first. You're cooking the balmum. Afilu basmik deira, and then nizru gedomah shel tamima. The halach says Rav Lazar of Shimon is a surah. Why? Because Rav Lazar of Shimon says that even though this is a psula medoshim, and it's a psulim adashim that you already slaughtered, and it's a psulim adashim that you already cooking, it still has in it the kedusha of a carbon, and therefore it falls back into the category of a chatosh neskapu baleha. So you see there, Rabbi Rav Shimon takes a strict view towards psulim adashim. Says the Rav Chisda, look mekuvei shamay. Why did Rav Chisda have to say that the halacha of Eima Gilin B'Bachar is going to be shamay? And this halacha by Psulim Adoshim is going through Rav Lazar of Shimon. Why can't we say that the entire Brice is following Beishamai's opinion? Explains the Gemara. For perhaps, Dilma, Akan lekam Beishamai el b'bechor. Where was Beishamai machmer by b'chor? Because b'chor has this chumra, the kedushas merechem. From when it's born, as we always say, it has kedusha in it. Ab Psulim Adoshim, then kedushas merechem. Loi, maybe Beishamai doesn't have such a strong opinion regarding it. Ask the Gemara the other way. V'lukma kulak Rav Lazar of Shimon. Why can't we say that the entire Brice represents the opinion of Rav Lazar of Shimon, and he will be a machmer even by a bechor? Says the Gemara. Dilma, akal lekam Rav Lazar of Shimon hasam el psul mikdashim. Where was Rav Lazar of Shimon machmer only by psul mikdashim? That leave me limitless pejane. That we see that it has the level of kedusha that you could even be paided, as we discussed in the previous year. Ah, Bechor, the loy al-olam mitzvahs pejoina, there is no din of redemption by Bechor. So we see that Bechor maybe is a lower level of Kedusha, loy, and therefore the halachim perhaps is that it doesn't have that level of Kedusha and Margilin would be permitted. Ask the Gemara, the letter of Shimon Leslay, Kapsula Mekdashim, the Karm Itlis, Mishkan Belitra. Haven't we learned in the first Mishnah of our Perek that we do treat Psula Mekdashim leniently? that the halacha was that we're allowed to sell and shecht them in a butcher shop, and we're allowed to weigh it on a scale. Alma, and as we explained at the beginning of the parak, the kiva the ifka rafka lehegdish, since hegdish will gain here, shari late. So just like over there, the profit of hegdish was taken into consideration. Why not here too? Should the profit of hegdish not be taken into consideration, and therefore allow margilim? Answers the Gemara: Amar Amar Greid of Kivna, Mashmish Biyep or Pagim Abasser. It's not pure profit. Yes, you do gain that you take, you get the whole skin in one piece, and makes the skin more valuable. But by going through the margilim procedure, you actually lower the value of the meat, and therefore you're not allowed to do it by psulim adoshim. And as I saw Rabbi Yashin explain, he says, of course, at the end, it has to be a situation where the value of the skin is more valuable than the loss in the meat. Because if the loss of the meat were equal or greater to the value of the skin, why would anybody want to do margilin? The point of the Gemara Rabbi Yashin explains is that since margilin is not pure profit, it does represent a deterioration in another area to the meat, so Chazal, the Torah doesn't allow it to be done by Psulim and Dasha. And the next piece of Gemara, there's a Machlokes Rishayim to understand what is the Gemara trying to accomplish. Rashi says that the Gemara here is trying to say that this din that we're learning, that Ein Margilim and Psulim and Dasha, is not limited to being the opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. But rather, Rashi says, the Gemara has come to teach us why everyone would agree that this is the halacha. There are, however, other Rishonim that seem to say, the Kesem Mishnah explains, that the Gemara is trying to explain why, even though we've learned, the Gemara is coming to give different answers to the question that would be just asked. That since we're saying Rabbi Elazar of Shimon is going to hold that you're not allowed to be margil by psulim adoshim, ask the Gemara, but we see that we're leaning by psulim adoshim in the first mishnah of our parak, to which the Gemara is now going to respond why, how, on that question. Again, we're going to learn with Rashi, but Rav Shmeid Ravina Amri Nishar of Vayda B'Kodshim. Everybody will agree that you're not allowed to be margil by psulim adoshim, because Allah is that you're not allowed to do avoid of psulim adoshim, and margilim looks like you're doing avoid. Rav Yosper Oven, Eimer, a different explanation. Zeru Shemi Dolmen Adar Madarim. If a person is going to be able to skin the entire animal, he may leave that animal around till he finds a customer for that skin. And in that time, the animal may have babies. And since they're the children of Psulim Adoshim, they are also Osa Begiz of Avoida. And because of that, Chazal were concerned, and they said, you're not allowed to be Magila. Says the Mishnah. B'chor sh'och sadam, a b'chor that has a blood clot, says the Mishnah, filo meis, even if it's going to die because of this blood clot, emakiz l'idam. The way, did Rabbi Yehuda, the way that we should explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is because he's concerned that if we're going to allow the person to do the bloodletting, he may do it in a place where it'll cause a mum kavua, and therefore, in his being so nervous, and therefore, he may not do any hakazas adam. Chamo emir, yakiz, he may, of actually ask for mum. As long as he does it in a way that it doesn't make a mum, vim osva mum, and if you did make a mum, harezel a yishkarolov, you shouldn't shech the animal based on that mum, you have to wait for it to develop another mum. The Rishonim debate how to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. Some explain, the Chachamim's opinion is, that you're allowed to make a mum oiver. And this is only, Hakazas Adam is only a mum oiver. And even though you're not allowed to make a mum in a Bechor, you're allowed to make a mum oiver. Others say that this isn't even considered a mum. Making Hakazah is not, according to the Chachamim, considered in the category of making a mum. If Shimon is most maker, he says, Yakis Abishos B'mum. And here too, there's two explanations of Shimon. Either because of Shimon holds a Dovashen Miskavin is mutter, and this he's not intending to make a mum, he's just intending to heal the animal, or Pshat and Rav Shimon is, the Mefarshim suggest, that an animal that already has this blot cloth is already an animal in the category of an animal with a mum oiver. And where is there a halacha that you're not allowed to make a mum in a bechor? That's only an unblemished bechor. But a bechor, this is a big chiddush. But a bechor that's already about mum, you're allowed to make another mum on that animal. Tanarabon. Bechor shach sadam. Mekizim lai sadam v'makum she'enos ben mum. A bechor that has this blood clot, we're allowed to make a mum in a place that it doesn't make it into a permanent blemish. Rem mekizim lai sadam v'makum she'enos ben mum. Divere meya. Bechor maimer. Af v'makum she'enos ben mum. You're allowed to do the hakaz in a place that it becomes a mum kavua. However, they hold, you can't rely on that mum that you've now made to be the mum that should make the animal be considered b'chor ba mum and become the personal property of the kohen. If Shimon Omer, after nishchar al oisamum, Shimon is most lenient. Yudai ma'afilu meis, even if the animal will die if you leave it the way it is, still emakizim lai sadam, don't do akaz sadam. Says the Gemara, masnalei rebelozul lebrei, ramalei rebchil lebrei, k'machloikis kan, the machloikis that we just learned, kach machloikis b'chav shel tshuma. We have the same machloikis by chav shel tshuma. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, chav shel tshuma, we have a barrel of tshuma, shenol by sofik tshuma, that we have a sofik tshuma on it. And Taisus right away asks, how can we ever have a sofik tshuma? Don't we have clear direction in the Torah that sofik tshuma b'shus ha-yochid is tamei, and sofik tshuma b'shus ha-rabim is tahor? So, how is this case? So, the Riva explains that we're speaking about a situation where you have two barrels in Rishus HaYochid, and there's a person that's Tamei that touched one of them. Just we don't know which one he touched, which one he touched. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest, that's referring to a situation where, when do we say that Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is tahor? It's only by a sofik that distinction we learned earlier in our shir, by tumah that doesn't, that's not yotzla megufa. But by tumah yotzla megufa, we don't have that this leniency regarding sofik tumah Rishus HaRabim. Another way that we should explain is that is the sofik. Where was the barrel? Was it Rishus HaYochid and it would be tumah? Or where was it Rishus HaRabim, where it would be tahor? So again, the Tanah, the Mishnah says, Chav shel tshuma shenol bei sofik tumah. When we have this barrel where there's a sofik, Reb Elazar Omer, im hoisa makom torfa, if it is a place where it's very, where it's exposed, it's likely to become tameh, then echenem makom mutzna, put it away in a place to avoid tumah. Im hoisa magula, if it was uncovered, yechasena. Rav Shua Omer, im hoisa makom mutzna, if it was in a concealed place, yechenem makom torfa. Specifically, place it in a place where it may become tummy. Why? The way that Rishonim explains. Because right now they're useless. They're not able to be treated like tummy, and they're not able to be treated like tahor. So, in order that we should have some use from this, we try to expose it to tumah. Leave everything as it is. Suggest the Gemara. Rameya in the Braisa, who says that you're allowed to make, you're allowed to save the Bechor, but not make a blemish, is going to be like Reb Elazar, who says that we should protect the Tshuma. Rabbanon, who in the Braisa say that you may make a blemish in the Bechor, are going to hold like Reb Yeshua in this Braisa, that could say you could take this barrel and expose it to Tumah. Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to do anything, will be like Reb Gamliel, says the Gemara Memai. These two issues do not necessarily travel together. For why? Dema akan l'kam Rameya hasam, by Bechor, Rameya is machmer, the ka'av b'yadayim, you're going making a mum in this Bechor. Here, all you're doing is grumma. You're just leaving it. You're not making it mamish tameh. Here, perhaps, he'll agree with Yeshua that will allow it to be put in an open area. On the other hand, says the Gemara, by Reb Elazar said by Truma it should be put in a concealed area. Because Shema Yavi El Yavi Terena, Elio and Novi may come tomorrow and tell us that this Truma is fine. And actually, the Pais can make an interesting point here. But certainly, isn't this Truma that had Hesach Hadas, and isn't Truma that had Hesach Hadas permanently disqualified? So they say from here we see that if there was Hesach Hadas on Truma, doesn't make it permanently disqualified. And if Eliyahu will come and tell us that nothing happened during that period, the truma will be allowed to be eaten. But Eliyahu makes another point. He says that when do we say that Hesach Hadas is a psul? When you could have watched it and you didn't watch it. Here we may be referring to a situation where you didn't do it deliberately, stop not watching, and that's why there's no psul of Hesach Hadas. Abu Hacha, the Shavuk Lemayis, but in the case of the Bechor, where if you're going to leave the Bechor, it'll die because of this clot, maybe Rabbanan Sfirulei, that you are allowed to make Hakazas Adam. That can become Rabbanan Hacha. The Rabbanan say they want to make the Mum by the Bechor, the Shavuk Lemayis. And that's why they're lenient. Abu Hassan, we always have the possibility that Shem Yob El Yob Yitarena, Kribbalez Asfirele, that you're going to have to move it to a concealed area. That can become Rabbi Yehuda Hacha. By Bechor, Rabbi Yehuda says, leave it as it is, because otherwise, if you would make Hakazas Adam, Kavu B'Yadayim, you're actively doing something to this Bechor. Abu Hassan, in that case, where it's only Groma, perhaps Kribbi Shua Asfirele. That kind of comment of Gamaliel Hassan, the Rabbi Gamaliel says, leave the Truma as is, because we have the Svara of Shem Yob El Yob Yitareno. Abu Hacha, the Shavuk Lemayis, here if you're going to leave it, it will die. Maybe for Rabbanan Sfirulei, that you're allowed to do the Hakazas Adam to save the Bechor. That's one reason, says the Gemara, why not connect these two issues. Furthermore, the Gemara gives a different reason why not to connect the two issues. For Hoy, the machlaikis in both by Hilchas Bechayra and by Hilchas Truma is all based on psukim. So says the Gemara. Dam Rav Chiver Abba on Rav Yosef. Hakamayim mechametz achamechametz. The halach is that a carbon mincha may not be made into chametz. If a carbon mincha is already chametz and you make it more chametz, you chayiv. The ksiv leisaf a chametz leisaisa. The Torah says leisasa. You're not allowed to make it into chametz. What did the Torah also say, leisafa? To teach us that you're not allowed to make it, even though it's chametz, make it more chametz thick. Similarly, the Torah says that you're not allowed to castrate an animal. The law is m'saris achim, m'saris shuchayit. It's if, the Torah says, ma'af v'chosus v'nosuk v'chorus. So the question is, m'alchorus, if somebody's chayit just for chorus, anosuk, which means he completely detaches the testicles, like Hoshkein, Elavin Noisik Achen Kairos Shuchayiv. Interesting question. What is the halacha in other areas of halacha? Do we say that if you did the same act after you did the first act, you chayiv or not? Just to mention two areas of halacha. One is regarding Bishul Acha Bishul. If something is cooked and you cook it again, is the second act of cooking considered cooking? So as far as Shabbos is concerned, we know that we're machmer by Bishul Acha Bishul. Why? Because as the Mefarshim explained, by Shabbos the determining factor is Melechus Machshavos, and if you cooked it even the second time, since you intended to cook, that would be considered a Maisa Bishul. But what would be the halacha if a food was already cooked? Well, to give a good example, you have a pot that has in it a blia of cooked milchiks. Are you allowed to cook if you cook fleishiks in that pot, is that called cooking in Bas B'cholov? Why would somebody do it? I saw an interesting situation. Let's say somebody doesn't have any vessel in which to light the Hanukkah candles besides a vessel that was used to cook something, to cook Bas B'cholov in. And now if you light the menorah here, you're cooking that liya. So the Poskim suggest that since we see here that the Torah had to teach us a special rule that Mesaris, Mechametz, Achim, Mechametz, that it's not considered, that it would not be considered cooking basar b'chalav. Another place where I saw the Pesachim have this discussion is, we know that, of course, it's a very serious issue, Isser, to erase Hashem's name. So let's say the name of Hashem was written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and somebody went and already erased one of those letters. One of the letters was erased, not by someone, it already became erased. Is there an Isser to erase one of the other letters? Perhaps there shouldn't be, because only where the Torah teaches us, and when you accomplish something with your second act, here, you wouldn't be chayiv. However, I saw the Pesachim are strict when it comes to the Shem Hashem. One explanation they give is, because we know that the Torah says very strictly, the Torah is very strict about treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with the utmost respect. Another explanation that I saw is that, how does the halacha look at the Shem Hashem? Does the halacha look at the Shem Hashem that there's one Shem Hashem made up of four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and if one of the letters are erased, then we no longer have a Shem Hashem? Or perhaps every letter has in it the Kedusha Shem Hashem. So the fact that one letter was already erased has no bearing on the other letters. Continue the Gemara. The question is, if you put a mum in an animal that already has a mum, there may be some mum one year by that is also also. Rabbanan Tzavri, Tamim Yir L'Ratzon. The Torah says Tamim Yir L'Ratzon. And therefore, only when it's a tamim, it's a problem. Otherwise, it's not a problem. Ask the Gemara of making a mum. Ask the Gemara of Rabbeyer, Hai tamim yil rotsim my avid lay. Says the Gemara, Mibay lay lamuti ba mum yikara. The Pasuk is teaching us that when an animal was never, when it was always about mum, there that isra making a mum doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara for that, I need a Pasuk. Ba mum yikara pshita. If it was about mum from when it was born, tikla ba'alma, it's like a piece of wood. So the Gemara, elamuti psulim u'doshim lachat u'yoinim. That if you have an animal that became disqualified, a kekdish animal that became disqualified, and you redeemed them, the tzakatat chamina, hoi vasir v'gizva avoid, as we mentioned earlier, you know, a work will take the wool of that animal. Maybe b'mum and nami l'ritzu, that we should not allow to be make a mum on it, k'mash mu'an. Ramona, ask the Gemara, Siv Kamum La Yeboi. What does that pasuk teach us? Answer the Gemara, Legroma Hudasi. It's coming to teach us that you're not allowed to even make a mum and a bachar through a grom. The Tam, Tanya, Mum La Yeboi, Ainli Ela Shlayitim Mum, that you're not allowed to make a mum. Menayin Shlayit Yavid Veilo Botzik, that you shouldn't bring some food. Vyechen Ala Oizen, put it on the ear of the bachar. Kedosh Yavid Kelav Yechlenim. That the dog will come and bite it and make the animal, the bechor, into a mum. Tamalam kam mum. Echad mum, vechad kam mum, even through a groma. And that's why I saw that the Rishonim suggest, the Pesachim suggest, that even though we know b'kol ha'tari kula ain't shliach l'dvar aveira, if I ask somebody to do something on my behalf, it's not my aveira. It could be by bechor, if somebody asks, for example, an akum to make a mum in the bechor, that would be considered as if he himself made the mum, just like we see the Torah's makbid, that you're not allowed to make a mum on a bechor through a grom.